This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Bexar County has seen the highest number of domestic violence-related deaths in Texas, but there's a new plan that aims to change that. At the end of October, City Council approved the comprehensive plan to disrupt the cycle of family and intimate partner violence. The plan includes six goals to be achieved over the next 5 years by approaching the issue from multiple angles with support from a variety of community stakeholders. The plan is called Love Is, and it looks to change the way San Antonio and Bexar County deals with domestic violence and hoping to end that cycle. If you have experience with domestic violence in your life, if it's happened to you or someone in your family, give us a call. We'd love to hear your story. And what kind of response did you get from law enforcement or from the community? What would you like to see different? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at the source at tpr.org. We're joined by Colleen Bridger, the assistant city manager for the city of San Antonio. Welcome back, Colleen Bridger.
Thank you.
And also with us on the line, Judge Monique Diaz. She is the 150th Civil District Court, and she is the co-chair of the Collaborative Commission on Domestic Violence. Judge Diaz, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Colleen Bridger, Love is the name of the plan. Tell me about that name. Why? Because you're saying something with this title. You really want people to look at this as what?
So Love is also the title of our public education campaign. And what we're trying to do is reframe the issue away from all of the things people shouldn't do to renorming what love is and what love looks like, and the fact that sometimes in the early stages of domestic violence, the perpetrator will say, well, I'm only doing this because I love you. And so we want to reprogram or renorm.
Reframe
what it looks like when somebody says they love you. And so that's the basis of the education campaign that we launched earlier this year. And it's also the title of the comprehensive plan to really drive home the fact that somebody who is overly controlling, somebody who is emotionally abusive or physically abusive of you, that is not what love is. Here's what love is.
And Judge Diaz, along with the plan and the reframing and trying to teach skills about how to have a positive relationships, we're also rededicating resources, and in our court system to actually deal with the what happens when people haven't gotten that message yet, I guess, right?
Correct. And I'd like to take a brief moment to clarify one thing. Thank you for the chance to talk about this today. In some of the promotions for this segment today, I think it was perhaps inadvertently stated that our efforts are targeted towards helping women that are experiencing domestic violence. And as we all know, disproportionately, women are impacted more greatly as opposed to men or non-binary individuals. But the Collaborative Commission on Domestic Violence is focused, as you mentioned, we've got six long-term goals. One of those is specific to survivors, one is specific to offenders, and the other four are specific to creating systemic changes that will assist both victims and offenders and hopefully prevent those situations from happening. And as you mentioned, the end result is usually we see these people come into our courtrooms and we have to deal with these situations then. But what we're trying to do as a county and a city joining together for the first time ever is trying to focus more on the prevention aspect, on education in our community so that these individuals don't end up in our court systems later. But at the point that they do end up before us, we're also addressing how can we better assist both survivors and offenders, walking them through this process to help prevent them from continuing the cycle.
So what does Judge Diaz, thank you for the clarification, but we're not just talking about women, but that they are the population that seems to be a large part of the people. I mean, who are not being well served with the system we have now, right?
Correct. Absolutely. It is disproportionately women. We know that, but there hasn't been as much of a focus, and we don't have really any data to look at to decide, well, how is it impacting our LGBTQ community, for example? The data is very scant. And we do have some data as it pertains to men, but as it pertains to men and other individuals, we don't necessarily have the services in place to assist those individuals as well. So we're trying to expand upon what we normally would consider to be a victim of domestic violence. We normally talk about women, but we know that it includes many others. And so we're trying to address that issue specifically in our community to be more inclusive, to make sure that our services are more inclusive and to improve the data so that we can better track our progress as well.
Colleen Bridger, what does domestic violence look like in San Antonio?
Well, like a lot of problems we're dealing with, it's a continuum. And it starts with just even overly controlling behavior, not allowing women access to the bank account, for example, and can escalate to or can start with emotional abuse, demeaning comments. And again, Judge Diaz, exactly on point, domestic violence affects men and women equally. The problem is that when you move along that continuum to physical abuse, you're more likely to see women being physically abused than men. But when you survey the population, they're equally likely to say that they've experienced domestic violence, whether it be controlling, stalking, emotional, verbal abuse, or physical abuse.
And Judge Diaz, what is, when we say domestic violence in San Antonio, and we're trying to say, what does it look like? What do you want people to know?
Well, I want people to know that while the situation is dire for us, it's dire across the world. The rates of domestic violence homicides are increasing, not just in our community, but in the state of Texas, in the United States, and worldwide. It is an epidemic. It's been declared one. And we're seeing that here at home, obviously. And so it's no different than any other community, in my opinion. But the way we address it and handle it is different. It is community specific. And so what we're doing in this joint county city initiative is we are looking to other communities that have handled these situations, that have addressed them in a positive, successful way. And we are not trying to reinvent the wheel. We are trying to implement proven strategies in our community to help prevent and reduce domestic violence. But it's really no different than what we see anywhere else.
We're taking a break here and our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you have a question or a comment about the city's new domestic violence plan? What do you think about using an education campaign to combat domestic violence? Do you have a personal experience with domestic abuse? Your story can help us better understand this problem, and you can be anonymous. The plan is called Love Is. What does that say to you? Do you think that we can use a love first type of approach to try to break the cycle of domestic violence here in San Antonio? We know that a lot of children become traumatized when they see this in their own home, and try as hard as they might, they then end up repeating that cycle. So teaching the skills of a healthy relationship, how can we do that here locally? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Nationally, the figure is 1 in 4 women have been the victim of domestic violence. In Texas, it's 1 in 3. And Bexar County has been seen as the most likely county in the state. This is a place where women are most likely to become the victim of a murder from a male intimate partner. So, you know, clearly we have an epidemic, and nationally and in San Antonio, it's particularly bad. And why is that? And what have you seen in your own life that reflects that? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And you can remain anonymous, and your story can help others move forward and and figure out how we can change this. With me to talk more about that is Colleen Bridger. She is the Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio and co-chair of the Collaborative Commission on Domestic Violence. And with me online is Judge Monique Diaz. She is the 150th Civil Court judge, and she is also the co-chair of the Collaborative Commission on Domestic Violence. So we've got some terrible statistics, Colleen Bridger, and last year we saw really high numbers. It was 35 total domestic violence-related homicides from SAPD and Bexar County Sheriff's Office, and of those 35, 21 were women. What does it look like right now for this year?
So far, for calendar year 2019, we've had 20 total homicides, 10 of which were women.
So there's a reduction.
There seems to be a reduction. There's a lot of variability in these numbers, however, and so when we're looking at what the trends look like, we'll need to be looking at 5 years worth of data and track that over a 5-year period of time to really be able to say whether we're making a difference.
But it's nice to know that, it's not good. These are not great numbers, but they're not as bad as they were.
Right. And the thing that we like to remind people, though, is that murder is the absolute worst case scenario of domestic violence. It's the worst outcome, but it's not the majority of what we see with domestic violence. And so it's just an indicator of the fact that we still continue to have significant problems around people in relationships not knowing how to resolve conflict without it resorting to some sort of violence.
Judge Monique Diaz, in your courtroom, you're the civil district court, but there's a lot of criminal court activity with this as well. How are the courts responding?
Well, in the civil district courts, we see domestic violence every day. We deal with family law cases, divorces, custody, child support, and so there are elements of family violence that we see in those situations. We also see protective orders, civil protective orders that people seek every single day for protection against offenders of domestic violence. So that's how we see it on the civil side. On the criminal side is obviously when individuals are charged with domestic violence and they face criminal prosecution. But we are beginning to really, for the first time in many of our collective conscience, we're beginning to communicate with one another from the civil side and the criminal side and to have conversations through this Collaborative Commission on Domestic Violence about how we can better coordinate our efforts to help these families. Historically, it's been very divided, and we handle our civil matters on one side and the criminal matters on the other side. And in fact, our data systems don't even communicate such that it would allow us to easily see what's happening on one side or the other. And so that's one of the things that we're working on. Our judges are all stepping up to the plate. They're all involved in this collaborative commission as well. We're working on two things specifically as a judiciary that we've identified through the commission. One of them is the expansion of legal services. And then the other one is the issue that we discussed briefly on your segment last time, and that's the issue of the surrender of firearms by individuals who are under a court order to not possess them. And that happens on both the criminal and the civil side. And we don't have a very clear process in place to enforce these orders prohibiting people from possessing firearms. And so that's one of the things that we are working on. And we're seeing that just as the rates of domestic violence are generally increasing and the numbers are generally increasing, the murders by firearms the vast majority of the murders of women in domestic violence situations are committed by firearms. And in Texas, in last year in 2018, 59% of domestic violence-related homicides involved a firearm. So that's one of the main focuses of our judiciary collectively right now.
So let's talk about the plan that is being presented. And Colleen Bridger, talk about it overall. It's broken down too.
There are six big picture goals associated with the plan. And the lens that we're using in this plan is a public health lens. So very much focused on what can we do early on in this area to prevent domestic violence from happening in the first place. So the six goals are to disrupt the developmental pathways towards partner violence, to teach safe and healthy relationship skills, increase cross-sector partnerships and transparency, coordinate and streamline access to services and trauma-informed responses, support survivors to increase safety and lessen harms, and then, as Judge Diaz was mentioning, reduce access to weapons and increase availability of rehabilitative programs. So for each of these six goals, we are working with community partners and organizations to implement evidence-based interventions that we've all agreed are the best place to start right now.
Judge Diaz, can you talk about how the community came together to help form this plan?
Absolutely. Well, at the beginning of the plan itself initiated in the city of San Antonio when Councilman Manny Pelaez and Councilwoman Shirley Gonzalez tasked the city with coming up with a comprehensive domestic violence plan. Simultaneous to that, our new city manager, Eric Walsh, was having conversations with our local administrative judge, Peter Sakai, about how we could partner up as a city and a county to deal with these efforts. Judge Peter Sakai then, by a court order, created the Collaborative Commission of Domestic Violence, creating that joint county-city partnership for the first time officially. And it all kind of spiraled from there. He appointed Dr. Bridger and myself as co-chairs. We created initially five committees that has expanded out to seven committees now. And those committees are the judiciary, law enforcement, prosecution, healthcare, nonprofits. We've since added an education committee and a data committee. And then we also have a policy work group through which we can funnel legislative recommendations that we identify through our work. So that is how it's comprised and how it began.
So these different recommendations, these steps that are in this plan, each one coming up with different angles of approach for strategies. Colleen Bridger, how did we know that this is what the problem is, that people, they have unhealthy relationship. They don't know how to have a healthy relationship. I mean, how do we get in there and disrupt that? I mean, this is, people are there. You didn't go to school, I guess, to learn how to have a relationship. Or I mean, you're copying what you saw when you were growing up, and now you're going to go and say, that's not right, do this instead of that. I mean, how do you get in there?
Yeah, you got to get in there a lot of different ways because, as you mentioned, children who witness domestic violence are more likely to grow up and either become victims of domestic violence or perpetrators of domestic violence because that's what they know. That's what they saw as children when their brains were developing. That's what they think is normal. And so we need to help families with children understand not to model that kind of behavior. And we need to help them understand how do you model the kind of behavior that you need for kids to be able to develop healthy relationships. And how do we know what works? Well, as Judge Diaz mentioned, this is a national problem. This is something that researchers have been trying to figure out the solution to for a long time. And the CDC actually has published a pretty comprehensive document that says, here's what you need to do. First, you need to take a public health approach. So many communities are focusing on the back end and only becoming involved once the domestic violence happens. We know that if we get involved earlier, we can prevent domestic violence from happening in the first place. The more we prevent it from happening, the less likely we are to have children who witness it, and the less likely we are to have that cycle repeated.
And there's different levels of prevention, trying to prevent it, you know, in a sort of a primary way, and then working your way up into a more acute way. And so, Judge Diaz, Is that going to be like through, you're going to court order people to go to classes, or how do you come in contact with people to teach them different, to avoid having domestic violence?
Well, I do think it begins far before they get to the court system. But in terms of what we have the authority to do as judges, is absolutely we have the authority and we're mandated to, order offenders to complete batter intervention and prevention programs, BIP programs, courses that they can take that, you know, kind of deconstruct their understanding of a healthy relationship. And explain to them why what they're doing is wrong. And what we often see is that a lot of these offenders, as Dr. Bridger mentioned, victims and offenders, many of them were exposed to domestic violence as children, either as victims themselves or just having witnessed it. And so they get to this later point in life where they think that that is normal. And so you have to court order these individuals to go to courses where they can better understand that what they have learned their entire life is not normal. So yes, we can do that once they get to us, but the focus needs to be on prevention earlier on having those conversations earlier on. But we can provide resources. We have a tremendous ability and responsibility as judges to provide those resources to court order them whenever we can. And so that's one of the things that we're doing through our Judiciary Committee, as well as making sure that our judges all are informed about what resources are available, what courses are available, what we can and can't do as judges so that we can better serve our community.
And Colleen Bridger, what about support for survivors? I mean, is that part of this as well? Helping people who are in a bad relationship get out?
Yes, and even farther upstream than that, helping people understand what a good relationship is, and if the relationship doesn't feel like it's headed in the right direction, what are resources to access before it becomes a domestic violence relationship. So yes, we are developing resources for people who are currently victims, but we're also developing resources for people who might become victims to prevent that from happening in the first place. And one of the things I'm super excited about is the next half hour of your show that talks about the Positive Parenting Program, because that's one of the foundational interventions that we're launching.
Thanks for the forward promote.
To help parents know how to interact with their kids in a very positive way that teaches about healthy relationships.
Right. So we're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But as we wrap up this half hour with Judge Diaz, I mean, how do we help women who are right now in danger?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm promoting is having conversations in your community, breaking down the barriers and the stigma tied to domestic violence, looking for signs of domestic violence in your neighbors, your friends, your family members, and directing them to assistance. We are currently directing people to contact, to call 211 for non-emergency situations and 911 for emergency situations. But you can keep your eyes open for those indicators of an unhealthy relationship, coercion and threats, intimidation, emotional abuse, isolation, economic abuse, male privilege. Those are all things that are indicators of domestic violence that we can, as a community, keep an eye out for to help each other and to refer those folks to the appropriate resources.
All right, Judge Monique Diaz, thank you so much for joining us, and Colleen Bridger, Assistant City Manager. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk a lot about this Triple P positive parenting. We really like to hear from some our listeners, 210-614-8980. How have you seen the disruption of this pattern of domestic violence? 210-614-8980. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We continue our conversation about domestic violence and the comprehensive plan that's been presented here in San Antonio called Love Is. And there is a significant part of that plan called Triple P Program. It's a positive parenting. And our phone number is 210-614-8980. I'd love to hear from listeners about how maybe you grew up in one type of household and you made a conscious decision that you were not going to repeat that pattern, and how you're able to develop a positive parenting program on your very own, and what you think we can, how we can spread that around and benefit from that experience as a society. And anyone else who wants to talk about some of the issues that they've seen with domestic violence here in San Antonio and Bexar County. I want to greet all of our new panel of guests here. We've got Patricia Mejia, the Vice President of Community Engagement and Impact for the San Antonio Area Foundation. Patricia, it's great to have you. It's good
Thank
to have you here.
Me.
And Jenny Hickson is a violence prevention manager for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. And Jenny, it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us, Jennifer Richardson, the Vice President of Family Initiatives at the United Way of San Antonio and Bexar County. Jennifer, good to have you.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So, Jennifer, can you tell me about what is Triple P and how it fits into, especially with United Way family violence efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. Triple P is an evidence-based parenting support curriculum that has been used internationally, and it's really a way in which to provide supports for parents and strategies for how they can reduce stressors in the home. United Way has been implementing Triple P for the last couple of years in partnership with two community-based organizations, DePelchin Children's Home and Martina Street Women's Center, and we've recently added it to our Strong Individuals and Families Impact Council work. So basically, we used state dollars to implement the program, and now we're expanding it to implement it as a part of United Way's community impact funds as well.
And the San Antonio Area Foundation, it seems to be, you know, you guys are supportive of this. Can you talk about that, Patricia Mejia?
Yeah, we feel really fortunate to be able to join so many people who have created this comprehensive plan. As you know, when Mr. Santikos passed away, he left us with his legacy. And one of the things he asked us to do was to stay really connected to community leaders and really help us to understand what the issues that are impacting our community and to really flood resources to that. And you couldn't have been a resident of this community and not seeing the horrible statistics coming up. And so the Santikos Committee asked us to really step in, and we're really proud to be able to support this at $600,000. Really, that dollars are going to two particular nonprofits who have a long reputation of connecting with families. We'll be working with Avance and the Peace Initiative to implement different levels of Triple P.
And Jenny Hickson, San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, can you talk about, as the violence prevention manager, can you talk about what you think the Triple P can actually accomplish?
Sure. So we see the Triple P positive parenting program as part of changing that ecosystem of violence in our community. So as Dr. Bridger was saying in the previous segment, violence isn't just sort of one set of behaviors or indicators. It's not caused by one thing. It's caused by a lot of different things. And part of that starts with the relationship that people see in the home and the way that their family operates, and that they see how loving relationships should look, or how they might shouldn't look. And Triple P really tries to empower parents to use the best skills that they can learn how to be supportive parents.
I'm going to go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 with Christian. And Christian, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Great. So just going back to, I'm a resident here of San Antonio, and really surprised to hear that Bexar County has such a high number of domestic violence incidents. Can you elaborate as far as like why that would be the case versus other major metropolitan areas? Is there a socioeconomic reason or specific demographic where we see more of this or not? And I'll take the answer offline. Thanks.
All right, Christian, and I think you really get to the heart of that. This is a very complex issue, and there are lots of drivers of this, and a lot of it's going to be economic and sociological. And let me hand it over to Jenny Hickson. She's the violence prevention manager for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. And I don't think there's any one answer, any, you know, solid answer. Everyone's going to have a different one, but what do you got?
Right. And I think, you know, that is the $64 million question that we're all trying to answer. And so I think we don't have one specific answer, but what we do know is that there are a lot of factors that we have in our community, that we have a lot of people that are living in very high stress environments without the ability to meet their basic needs. So we have a lot of families that are living in poverty. We have a lot of families that don't have access to job opportunities. We have a lot of families that they need a lot of different types of support, and all of that can contribute to violence. However, people experience domestic violence across all socioeconomic spectrums in all parts of our city. This is not an issue that is limited to any one part of our city or any one segment of our community. This is something that touches all of us. And unfortunately, I think if you live here and if you are part of this community, you definitely know someone in your life that has experienced this issue. None of us are free from having seen what this looks like. And that's why it's such an important for these efforts to be coordinated across all parts of our community to see all of the different ways we can intervene.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear from our other guests on this as well, but I'm fascinated by that question and thinking about why San Antonio, and, you know, we have a very old city, and we know that trauma lingers generation after generation after generation. I am impacted by trauma that was delivered to my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and it impacts me today. And we have families here in San Antonio that are very old, have been around here before even the colonization, and the trauma, it continues to impact everyone. And it's a lot of, you know, a lot of social injustice is going to reverberate throughout time. And so it does take a community coming together. And what we're offering, this is my take, and I would love to hear Patricia and Jenny and Jennifer, is this, what we're trying to do is offer healing. And what we're seeing is the reinflicting of pain and something that's being carried down, a horrible, horrible thing that people inherit from each other. And we're trying to offer them a method of healing. And Patricia Mejia, I was wondering what you might think about that.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of you pointing that out and talking about, really, it's across economics. There isn't one particular part of the city that isn't impacted about this. And, you know, looking at it from a trauma-informed lens, that is true. We have several very deep problems in our city. And I think, you know, one of the most exciting things about Triple P is that we're looking at moving upstream with all of those realities about the impact of trauma. We can create a new reality for people by actually showing what that looks like. And I think through this curriculum, we're able to really open new ideas and new spaces of what healthy relationships look like. And, you know, I think the other part that's just really interesting, it's just so personal. Each of us could talk about a distance that we'd like to create from domestic violence, but I can just share with me personally, there's someone I've been thinking about this as we've been working on this, you know, a young woman by the name of Erin Castro. My husband and I, we spend the mornings going to a small restaurant in our neighborhood, The Hut, and it's really interesting because this young woman was our waitress every Saturday, and one day she was no longer there. This is someone who, by any means, you wouldn't think about it, but from one day to the next, she had an incident with her boyfriend. And so the only reason I bring up Erin is I want to give names to those folks who have experienced really the unexpected, something that we were not hoping for Erin's future. But, you know, the impact of trauma, we've got to keep thinking about ways to do it, and the only way is to implement programs like Triple P and move upstream.
And Jennifer Richardson at the United Way of San Antonio and Bexar County, y'all deal directly with families that have been impacted by this. And so, do you try to help them with direct support and wraparound services? What do y'all provide?
I think it's a combination, and I too appreciate your conversation around the depth of trauma that our community is dealing with. And so what we try to do is we offer Triple P not as a standalone, but as a part of a package of services that families have access to. Our work is really looking at things from a collaborative or a collective impact approach, which speaks to the collaboration that you see here at the table. We know that no one organization in our community can solve this problem because of the depth and how widespread it is. And so we really look at how do we organize our community and work as a collective or a collaborative to address these issues. If we're all laser focused on decreasing family violence in our community, we have a better likelihood of being able to achieve success at driving some of these rates down versus trying to individually have one-off programs approaching it.
Here's another caller, and Corey. Corey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my question has to do with, are there any counseling services that you offer? Because typically, if you've come from an abusive family and you end up with someone who's abusive and you attempt to break that cycle, it's almost like you're left out all on your own and you're by yourself at that point.
All right, Corey, thank you for that. So counseling services, and so Jenny Hickson with the health department?
So the health department does not directly offer counseling services, but we have some of our partnerships with Family Violence Prevention Services, for example. They have wonderful programming to provide support for people who are leaving relationships or would like to get support, mental health support with leaving relationships, abusive relationships. So there are resources that are available, and we can make sure to share those with your listeners after the show. But absolutely, that is a crucial part of healing what's happened to move forward in a healthy way.
And people may not even realize that they're carrying around a lot of the baggage. It may present itself as low-level undiagnosed depression. You may have some sort of flare-up of episodic anger. You don't know where it comes from. This is, you know, the universe telling you that you need to talk. You need to find some people to talk to. And what we're looking for is a way to provide healing experiences throughout San Antonio using organizations like the United Way, which has established a great reputation. People know who you are. They trust you. Other organizations, San Antonio Area Foundation, the Metro Health, other partners will be coming involved that are already a part of our communities and neighborhoods. If you got a story to tell, if you want to see how you can be part of the solution to heal San Antonio from domestic violence, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Triple P program. It's positive parenting. It's part of our domestic violence plan, a way to try to cure San Antonio of this epidemic of domestic violence. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Jenny Hickson, you're the Violence Prevention Manager for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. We've been talking a lot about mainly, you know, intimate partner violence, but this is also very evident with child abuse as well, right?
It is, and unfortunately, we see a lot of overlap between families that are experiencing family violence and families that are also experiencing child abuse. When we did our assessment and we talked to CPS, they estimated that at the bare minimum, 25% of their cases had to do with domestic violence, and that seems like, in talking to them further, that seems like a bit of an underestimate. So the two issues completely overlap.
Yeah, we see high numbers of children who are dealing with CPS coming in, getting involved in families as well. Patricia Mejia with the San Antonio Area Foundation, as y'all work to try to implement the Triple P parenting, positive parenting program, how are y'all going to talk to the families that really, really need this information?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It's a really difficult one. You know, earlier you were saying it's difficult to start that conversation. And for us, probably very similar to the United Way, our responsibility is to go to those who are most trusted by these families or by families in general. And for us, those are the nonprofits who have a long history of being champions in this community. For us specifically, you know, Avance and the Peace Initiative have a way that's connected to their mission that really opens a space for very delicate conversations and really creates a home for them. So as they're working through this curriculum, it feels like a safe place to be able to have, whether it's parenting programs or other deeper conversations about counseling, and to open that space for these difficult conversations.
I have an email from Renee. Is there a link between domestic violence and the lack of access to mental health services? Let me go to Jennifer Richardson with the United Way of San Antonio and Bexar County. Do y'all help provide mental health services, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Strong Individuals and Families Impact Council with Patricia actually served on for us, developed strategies for our recent strategic alignment investments that are focused on how we look to ensure individuals and families in our community are thriving and economically stable. And so a lot of the strategies that we're employing are looking at how do we remove barriers or provide support to ensure that folks are able to achieve whatever their economic goals and dreams are for their household. And one of those things is ensuring that mental health services are available. And crossing over into that is also implementing Triple P to ensure that we're meeting families where they are with regard to providing parenting support all the way through to economic development and workforce opportunities for families as well.
So there's a lot of comorbidity type issues here where you have lots of things happening at the same time in people's homes. And Jenny Hickson, you know, not just mental health issues, but also, and you could also consider addiction is also a mental health issue, and whether that helps is a driver of this type of behavior.
So we have to be really careful when thinking about the drivers of these behaviors, because like you said, there are a lot of things that co-occur, but they're not causal. So there is substance abuse that co-occurs with domestic violence, but there is a lot of domestic violence that occurs without any substance abuse, and there's a lot of substance abuse that occurs without domestic violence. And so though those things overlap, there's not a causal relationship between them. And just like with mental health, there are definitely mental health problems that contribute to domestic violence, but there are a lot of people with mental health challenges that are not at all violent. And many people that perpetrate domestic violence, they are well aware that they can't be violent towards other parts of their life. They can't be violent to their boss, or they can't be violent in other circumstances. So we really have to be careful with not further stigmatizing other parts of our community when addressing this particular issue. But yes, these are all issues that people need the full range of support, and they need to be fully healthy, and we want to make sure that they get whatever they need to move them to that space.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, Tony. Hey, Tony, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Okay. I've grown up in an abusive, neglective family. Me and my sister have shared that burden with each other. But over the years, now that we're adults, we always come back to asking ourselves, systemically, there's a problem, and we understand that. We're trying to resolve that. But the root of the problem is when two individuals come together as adults and procreate, the questions they're not asking themselves before they do that is, am I emotionally stable? Am I educated? Do I have a career path? Do I have the resources to raise a healthy young child into this world? So, I really congratulate the Triple P program for reaching out. But it just seems like if there was, like, let's just say a certificate program where two individuals can apply to have a child, as opposed to just having a child and throwing it out there, and I'm not ready to raise that child.
All right, Tony, thank you for that. I don't think we're not going to be qualifying individuals to have children. But, you know, people, that's a right that individuals have, to have a child if you want to have a child. And but we can provide help and support and services, encouragement and cheerleading, coaching services. And, you know, that's something that we can do. Patricia Mejia with the San Antonio Area Foundation, is that part of what y'all see your mission?
Yeah, and I think about, you know, just having this conversation, helping to remove the stigma of parenting is very difficult, whether you're absolutely prepared for it or you're not. And I think that's a conversation that we need to have, and to give the opportunity for folks to talk about that openly. And if you add the stressors of not having a job or having lost a job, that just complicates a situation. But the reality is parenting is difficult, and we need to have that conversation.
And so Jennifer Richardson with the United Way of San Antonio in Bexar County, when people, you know, maybe you don't have a lot of income in your life and you have children, you know, there shouldn't be anyone who should tell you can't have that child, even if you're not well adapted or well adjusted. I mean, there's got to be a way to help people do the best they can, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Triple P is one of those ways. It really meets the family where the family is, and it provides an opportunity for parents to learn skills that they may not necessarily come with. I mean, I have 3 children and 3 grandchildren, and I wish there was a rule book that told me how to deal with a 15-year-old on any given day. And Triple P really offers the opportunity for families to learn and understand how to communicate and interact with their children and create an environment that kind of helps foster what we want to foster so that we don't see these spikes in family violence in our community.
And Jenny Hickson.
Well, and I think the other thing to sort of reframe that question a little bit differently is that every family is going to, at some point, need support. We're all going to hit a parenting challenge that we, you know, don't know how to handle. But every family also should be able to have their basic needs met so that they're not having to choose between having a healthy family and economic self-sufficiency. And that's what's really great about some of the other work that's going on around this initiative is United Way, San Antonio Area Foundation are also doing a lot to support families in having livable wages and not being forced in this false dichotomy of you either have a job or you have a family, and every job really needs to be able to support a family is what we need in San Antonio.
Absolutely. We need to create jobs that pay, work that pays. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas on the phones. Welcome. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for all you do, Mr. Davies. I just wanted to make a comment that I haven't heard any discussion about anger management. And it seems to me, I've traveled all over the world, every city, every state, that San Antonio, for some reason, I don't know if it's in the air or what, but people have, you know, short flare-ups, short fuses. They want to bite you on the road, you know, the road rage in the grocery stores. And I just don't understand such a hospital state, such beautiful people, beautiful weather, that they need to have their attitudes checked. I really think that as a whole, including my own employment. I mean, people take all this baggage home, and then they, right. You know, they start being mean to their family. And okay. I think
I hear you, Thomas. Check. I hear you. Thank you so much for that point. So, Patricia Mejia, anger management. I like the anger management as much as possible, but that's me between me and my boss. And but when it, I think people when they have some levels of PTSD, that's when, you know, in their lives, that's when you see these flare-ups and you suddenly, boom, the trigger is pulled, hair trigger, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I also just think it goes back to Jenny's point earlier that we have to keep at the top of our mind that these issues are really, really complex. And it goes back to, do you have a living wage? We have to think about the other issues that, you know, while the city is lovely, we also are one of the highest economically segregated. We have the highest poverty rate of any metropolitan city. Those other pieces are very important to think about when addressing this issue.
Jenny Hickson with San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, what do you think? How are we going to deliver this program? How are we going to change lives?
Well, we are, as Patricia said, we're reaching out to all of our folks that are trusted community partners and seeing how we can add this program into the work that they're already doing. We want to make sure we get it out as quickly as possible, so we're not going to build something new. We're going to add on to what's already there to people that have those relationships, are already going into homes, already reaching out to families.
A lot of families, they still depend on things like corporal punishment to discipline a child. And, you know, just letting people know that that does not work, that positive reinforcement, that praise is the best way to help control a child and teach them the proper behavior and not pulling out the belt and doing the whooping, you know. And so really quickly, Jennifer Richardson, you think we can get that, at least that message out there? Corporal punishment is not a good way to discipline a child.
Yeah, I think that through the use of Triple P and other prevention models like this, it provides families with alternatives to being able to come up with strategies for disciplining and just working with their children and working within their household to try to ensure that the level of stress is down.
Praise each other, love each other. Punitive measures, they do not work. I want to thank Jennifer Richardson with United Way of San Antonio, Jenny Hickson with San Antonio Metropolitan Health, Patricia Mejia with the San Antonio Area Foundation. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.